Hi, this is The Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to was originally recorded back at DEF CON 1 in 1992 at the Sands Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Now, the Sands has since been blown up to make room for something new, but the speeches live on. All rights are reserved except for educational uses only. If you'd like more information about DEF CON, please contact us at dt@defcon.org or visit our website at www.defcon.org. Now, get ready to sit back and listen to a great speech, and I hope to see you at a future DEF CON. Woohoo!
Well, good morning. I'm a little bit tired and broken here, but we'll get through this. Jeff, how long do I have?
You've got half an hour.
Okay.
And then 15 for questions.
I'll try and keep me honest.
Well, since Alan Grogan's not showing up, we can probably stretch people on a little longer since we have one less speaker.
Okay. I'm assuming that I can talk loud enough and sort of aim my mouth over in this direction that that this will work.
Well, I'll go test it.
Okay. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, start your speaking.
Is it loud enough? Everybody can hear me?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Everybody awake? I'm not.
Barely.
It's too early or too late, I'm not sure which. In deference to some of us that have pushed our schedules through the bottom end. Let's see, I'm the Kaplan, and you should have a copy of the handout. If you don't, there's a stack of them up here. Let's see. My address is on there. Please feel free to send me mail, talk to me about stuff. First off, I keep forgetting my personal agenda, so let me get that on the table. From my vitae in the program, you can see that I'm a computer consultant specializing as best I can in security. That's a large space, okay? One problem that I have is trying to find people with specific tails which will influence people to take better care of their infrastructures. So I'm continually looking for good MVS hacks. So if anybody, you know, can regale me with stories of big blue boxes that have been broken, I'd be happy to chat with you about that. I also have a newsletter, which somewhat egotistically I suppose I call the Ray. That's because I'm a failed publisher with a thing called Views on Vax, which mutated into a thing called Views on Deck. So since I went broke to the tune of six figures with this publishing enterprise, I now call it The Ray, and it has outspoken stuff in here. Specifically, what I would invite you to do is join me in trying to understand how to build what I characterize as an incident tracking and vulnerability reporting database, which might be publicly accessible. So if I have a Fred box with Joe's operating system running Sam's application, and Susie is the operator, right? Maybe I can have a hope of dialing in someplace and discovering whether or not there's anything I should know about how to better protect it or whatever. So I have a dissertation on that. Please pick up a copy of this. Last but not least, I bring you sad news. Many of you have been interviewed by SRI under contract to someone in the federal structure. They were doing a study of the vulnerability of the public switched network. And I expected that information was going to be publicly presented at a security conference in November. It appears that the client told them not to publish it, so they canceled their session. So the promoter of that conference has asked me whether or not I'd be interested in pursuing that as a conference session. Maybe, because I figure there's a couple of hundred, if maybe not a couple of thousand hours of research in there. So if anybody wants to chat about freaking stuff, let me know, because I'm thinking of trying to make a session to talk to people about the way things really work. One of my bones of contention is that not a lot of people in the world seem to understand the basics of the technology. And that's a lot of confusion there. And the basis for my talk, I think. Sorry for the typos. I tried to give you an agenda there, but you'll notice the blank bullet. Some of this stuff from the agenda fell off. That's due to the late hour. I drove up from Tucson last night, and maybe that's better than usual. I should show you my trinket, just to let you know that my vitae in the program is correct. Here's a frequent flyer card from American Airlines. It sports a 1 million mile embossing. So, did they name a plane after you for that one? Nearly. When you got on an American Airlines plane, you should feel underneath the edge of the seat to see whether or not the plaque, right, that dedicated the seat to me. That's just by way, and I'm going to try to be a smartass, that's just by way of saying I really do speak to the exclusion of my sanity. I really am devoted to trying to understand as much as I possibly can about computer security, what our infrastructure is about, and my particular hot button is how I'm going to survive in the years to come. And you can see my dedication here, right, in the handout. I'm hoping that our consensual cyberspace here is going to be a safe, productive place to work and play. I don't necessarily think that's the case at the moment. And frankly, as a tone-setting statement, I was probably born 500 years too early. Yeah, we're in the middle of an enormous technical and sociological change for everybody on the planet. And maybe it would have been nice to look back and read the history, right? Say between, say, 1950 and 2050, right? Just excellent reading for historians 500 years from now. Very confusing for me to be here. Trying to understand, you know, who I'm supposed to be. I'm clear that as I look back on my life, I know where I should have been. In some cases, my problem is trying to understand where I should be today. So I really do want to somehow figure out how to live to 2050 so I can look back on this. I went to HoloCon in December and was fairly successful with the following exercise. My idea is that we are basically here attending our conference at Jeff's invitation to get to know each other and rub shoulders with one another, because electronically we can talk to one another on the net, we can pick up phones and talk to one another, but there's something human about being here face to face, meeting each other and discovering that maybe we're a little different than we thought we were electronically. I don't know about your style of communication, but my electronic mail tends to be hugely different than my interactions in person. Same thing with my postings. Really a different style of communication. So, limber up your neck here a little bit. Look to the left, look to the right. My idea is quickly go through a list of questions here and have you just raise your hands and look around and sort of get to know each other a little bit. You don't have to participate if you don't want, but I figure that you're here in part for the same reason that I am. How many of you are local Las Vegasites? Okay, a few, that's cool. Anybody from another city in Nevada? Okay, California? Cool. Let's see if we can slice this up a little bit. Northern? Southern? Interesting. Southern, is this LA?
Yeah.
Anybody from San Diego? Cool. Let's go to the other northern extreme. What's Eureka?
Eureka.
Okay, cool. How about Arizona? That's me. I'm from Tucson. Cool. Utah. Anybody from Utah? That's the right to... I think my geography works here, right? Anybody from, like, the East Coast? Oh, cool. Did you guys fly in? Cool. I've been known to hitchhike, right? Being on the road, hiking across the country is a cool catharsis. If you've never done it, you might want to consider it. Change of perspective of the way the world works. How about another state besides the East Coast? Cool. Did you guys all fly?
Yeah.
Pretty much, okay. Canada, Mexico? Okay. Any foreign countries? Non-U.S. countries? Where from? England, cool. Specifically for this conference?
No.
And you? Did you?
No, not a state.
Did you say? Pardon me?
Texas
is not a foreign country.
I wish.
Unless you believe the TV advertising, right?
Yeah.
All right, right. How many cows are by car? That's me.
How many blew a tire? How many blew a tire?
Blew a tire? Oh, bummer. Plane? Bus or other conveyance? How about travel with a friend? Okay, cool. How many of you had a run-in with the law? Well, let's go. Wait, wait, wait. Let's concentrate on the sort of rough edge side here a little bit. And I tried to, in my handout, I tried to talk about this, right? How many of you have been interviewed? Okay. How many of you have been, my hand is up. How many of you have been charged? My hand is up.
Really?
How many of you have been busted? Had your chops busted. My hand's still up, you know. How many of you have been convicted? My hands are still up. How many of you have served time? Anybody served time for anything? My claim to fame is I have a tendency to argue with people. I've been officially, formally deported from Canada. 1976, a border guard said to me, she looked inside my 61 Volkswagen microbus, saw my literary marijuana stickers, and she said, "So you smoke that stuff, eh?" And I explained to her the previous night's interesting time, because this was, you know, I was delivering a friend of mine to Seattle, the most beautiful woman I've ever known in my life. We had, you know, a sunset and dinner, and anyway, I tried to tell her that story and ended up in front of a shaved tail immigration officer. Who wanted me to lie to him, right? You're not really saying that you smoked dope last night, are you? Well, yes, you want the truth, don't you? Well, no, unless you change your story, I'm going to deport you. Okay?
And you didn't change it?
I didn't change my story, so I was formally deported. The way I fixed that is I applied for and obtained ministerial permission to be there as a guest of the Canadian government. They won't revoke the deportation, but I have a paper that identifies me as a special friend of the Canadian government. Now, where we're going with all of this, I'm not just going to stand up here and babble at you like this inanely. But I wish, the reason I'm burying my soul in front of you like this is so that you begin to think a little bit about the personal nature of what we're involved in here, okay? Some of us have principles which are not only heartfelt, but we've paid fair dues, right? I try not to lie, cheat, and steal. I really do. Okay, let's try age. Well, wait a minute. In deference to your comment, I guess we should ask, how many of you have had what you would consider to be a positive experience with the law? My hands are up, because I'm a child. Okay. And that includes last night in Tucson. I was breaking speed laws getting out of town. Well, somebody, you know, drive-by shooting, and cops pulled me over. And I said, what the hell do you want? Leave me alone. I made a wrong turn here because I saw your lights blinking and I didn't even get on the road here. He was very nice. He said, shining his light in the car, right? He was there. I just want to make sure that four Hispanic males are not in this car. The car matches the description. And thank you very much. And it slipped. He could have nailed me good because I was doing 80 and a 40. Okay, so besides that, I continue to work with law enforcement and the criminal justice system in my capacity as a computer consultant with some regularity, with generally good experience. How about age? Let's start down. Anybody over 70? 65?
Put your hands up. Just put your hands up.
Anybody over 65? Anybody over 50? Anybody over 50? Okay, thanks. Helen? 54? Okay. Anybody over 40? That's me. I turn 46 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ooh. You can tell, right? Let's keep on going down. How about over 30? What do you think? 30? Let's cut that in half. 35 over 35? Okay. So over 20. Yeah, that's what I figured we're going to better split that. Over 25? Okay, about half and half. Let's start down from 20. 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14. No 14? Okay, I guess you win the prize.
No,
cool.
Undergone.
I'm sorry,
how old? No. 13.
13, cool. 12? No, somebody said keep on going. 11? 10? 9? Anybody less than 10? Okay, cool. Well, one person is claiming to be now. Maybe mentally, right? How many consider yourself to be beginners? I'm not sure, you know. How How many of yourself consider yourself to be intermediate, sort of in the computer slash acting freaking whatever it is that you consider that you do? How many of you consider to be consider yourself to be wizards or advanced? Not me, brother. Rick, you're the only identified wizard.
God.
Come on. Hell.
You
want to be introduced?
Yeah.
This is Mr. Rick Farrow of Unix fame, right? Everybody's read his book, I hope. Let's talk about time in the industry. How many have been at this computer crap for over 20 years?
Oh, it hurts, doesn't it?
Got a bunch of cards. Over 15? A little more. Over 10? Mostly. I'll just put that in half. Over 12. Okay, interesting. Let's go down from 10. 9? 8? 7? 6? 5? 4? Nope. Anybody under 4? Cool. Thank you very much. 3? 2? 1? Anybody been playing with this less than a year? Okay. Good. Thanks. Okay. Is this useful?
Yeah.
Okay. Operating system experience. How many are big blue box devotees? MBS? VM? Any of those guys? Okay. Ooh.
You want
two at least.
Ooh. Solid experience or just passing experience?
Whatever. Whatever. How about BMS? That's me. That's my expertise. Unix? I claim that also as mine. DOS? I'm an answer to these phones. My consulting partner is a 20-year veteran of system programming. He's written several operating systems by himself. Somebody says, yeah, operating system DOS, in the same sentence. He says, no, he says, you don't understand. He says, DOS, DOS. Ah, yes, he says, that's subroutine with timer service. Not an operating system. How about NT? Anybody claim NT? Okay, cool. A little bit, right? More and more every day. Yeah, of course.
Beta.
Soon to ship. How about anything else?
OS2.
OS2?
CPM.
We're dating ourselves. What else we got back here?
HBO.
Pardon?
UofL.
Well, all right. UofL?
Again.
Pardon me?
HP?
Any HP 3000? We might as well throw it in general. We could go on all day, couldn't we? I think what I'd like to do is split the Unix space up here a little bit. Rick, help me out here. How many BSD experts? If you're a Unix person, you have to have a home. What's your primary language? Which dialect do you speak? Are you BSD? How many BSDers? How many sets of fibers? What else should we put in here?
Sun?
Yeah. Because you write, right? That's not fair. You want to be introduced? This is Mark Ludwig. Why don't you stand up? He's the author of Live Life. So cutting that hair, how many of you consider yourself to be full-time hacks and don't do anything else besides hacks? Okay, one. Yeah, interesting. Okay, all right, I got challenged on this, but I'm going to stick to my guns. Let's test your programming prowess. How many of you are production application coders? If they lash you to a desk and you do COBOL. Nobody, huh? Okay. Well, sort of, right? How about system programmers? How many of you classify yourself? Could you write a Unix device driver? Could you write a BMS device driver? Could you write stuff for MBS? A few of us, okay. How many of you regularly work with, let's start down from the top, more than 1 million lines of code?
Yeah.
Well, at HoloCon, somebody said, oh, bullshit, there isn't any million lines of code. Well, most operating systems that I know of these days and networks are much more than that. My home is VMS. That's typically, depending on how you characterize it, between 5 and 10 million lines. Unix
assembly.
Pardon me?
Yeah, of assembly lines.
Right, assembly lines. You know,
3 to 5 million.
3 to 5 million for Unix. The sad part of MBS is they tell me that's as many as a billion lines of code these days. You can believe that.
So I
claim that a system programmer may work regularly with huge numbers of lines of code. How about 100,000 lines? That would be a big application, right? Like a big database or something? No? Tens of thousands? Okay, cool. That's your own creation, right? You can easily do 10,000 lines. Thousands of lines? Okay, that's where I live most of the time, is, you know, geez, I wonder what this does. Documented hundreds of lines?
Yeah.
Most of us, I think, maybe?
Yeah.
Tens of lines. Okay, Mark, I guess I don't understand. What do you write? How many of you only write legitimate functional applications or operating system code?
Legitimate.
It doesn't, it's not malware. It's not malware.
Can you write any
okay. Few people are in the applications business, right? Or the operating system business. Those of you who raise your hands as being programmers but don't write legitimate applications must write malware of some kind, as far as I'm concerned. Viruses? How many virus writers? That's disappointing. How many worm writers? How many people that have written things like security crackers? I don't know what to call them. Penetrators? We should talk about that, right? Any more granularity in there? How about education? Let's start down from the top. PhD? Really? Cool. All the dissertations? That's ABD. Any masters? Master's degree? Okay, cool. Bachelor's? Excellent. I guess we ought to throw in working on degrees. Working on bachelor's? That's me. High school? That's GED or otherwise? Still in school? High school specifically?
No.
Still in high school specifically? Okay. Anybody willing to admit that they dropped out? Well, I sort of did. I keep going back and missing myself in some of the goddamn classroom. I don't know if there is, but...
How about no degree but more units than God?
There you go. No degree but more units than God. I have 165 towards 130 degree program. What do you hack? How many hack computers? How many hack networks of various kinds? All right, let's see if we can split hairs here. Anybody claim to be an X.25 wizard? How about the internet? Or TCP/IP in general? Okay. TechNet? Any SNA or others? Okay. Phones?
Yes.
Anybody? Okay. Let's try and split that a little bit. Plain old telephone system stuff? Anybody claim to be in the cellular? Cool. Okay. That's interesting. Right? Most seem to have made the transition. How many hack people?
Well, engineering is an art.
Okay. All right. How many hack social systems? Interesting. Huh? Okay. How many believe that these answers have been honest? I think so, for the most part. How many use encryption in their work? Specifically PGP? Okay. Others? Other kinds of encryption? Okay. How many are here alone? Okay. How many are here with a friend? Okay. How many are here with a parrot? I thought there was one. You shouldn't be embarrassed, because at HoloCon there was like 250 people there, and one father brought his son, which I thought was really cool. Because they were having enormously interesting discussions. Those of you who are under 21, is that majority in the state?
Yeah.
Okay. Those of you who are under 21, how many of you have both parents around in your life? Okay, cool. How many of you have one parent around? Okay. And last but not least, how many have no parents around? Interesting. Less than I expected. Okay, how many are here to party?
You!
Now that it works, better percentage. Get towed?
We might as well be honest, come on!
Talk with each other. How many are here to learn? That's me. How many are here to share? That's also me. Okay, cool. How many know others in this group from the Met? Yeah? How many know others from working together? Okay, interesting. And last but not least, how many of you are meeting an electronic friend for the first time? Cool. Okay. All right. I claim that we can zip ahead to have a better conference now, right? If that's not true, you should talk to them, because they want to do this again. I think it's a cool forum. My idea is the reason I'm here is to, get to know some of you. So maybe this could be institutionalized. At least we got to make some effort at figuring out who the hell we are. I don't think there's any demographics been done. Okay, quickly. Anybody been to school with Guy by the name of Dale Carnegie? I have. That's one of the reasons why I babble with so much alacrity, right? How to win friends and influence people. Teach people how to do public speaking. His rule of public speaking is the way you conduct a speech is you tell them what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Okay. So what I'm going to talk to you about is my view of this question that you saw, right? The title of the talk is, right, to hack or not to hack is not the question, right? And the bottom line is, well, of course you hack. It's built in, as we'll discover, at least from my perspective, right? There's some subtle questions to be asked, and that's where we're going to go with this, is to ask some of those questions. I can't answer them. I mostly would like to cause you to lose some sleep tonight. That's what I'd like to do. As a consultant, my main mission in life as a consultant is to act as an agent of change. That includes this today. I hope I'm provocative enough to get you going, especially with my incident reporting database idea. Maybe some definitions. Anybody want to throw out a definition for hacking?
Creative exploration of the system for various purposes.
There you go. I love it. For me, it's a personal deal, right? I just like to fiddle with shit to see how it works.
Yeah.
And that includes most everything I do. Oh, damn, the clutch cable broke. Right. I guess I'll go down to the store and see whether I can figure out how to put a clutch cable in my Volkswagen. Go ahead. There you go.
To overcome your own limitations.
There you go. Okay. So I would suggest that we don't necessarily even have a common definition of some of these terms. How about cracking? Somebody want to throw out a cracking definition? Go ahead.
Learning possibly circumventing and understanding security limitations of the system.
I like the circumventing part, right? Go ahead.
I was going more software wise now, removing protection from a package or making it
breaking. Breaking it, right? Breaking it, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
What about freaking? Go ahead. You seem to have a lot of them up in the phone system.
Pretty cool. It's a question of the power system, not necessarily phones, because it's under type, but what understanding how hardware works, power system.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, mostly freaking is a term that's generally used to involve in circumventing toll charges.
Okay. Maybe a lot of us have some homework to do.
Getting involved in the telecommunications system, learning how it works, I consider more to be hacking than freaking.
There you go.
Primarily freaking is referred to as red box.
I'm an antique. I know Draper from 20 years ago. To me, it means different.
Look at
that. Yeah. To me, it means different than you. All I'm trying to do is say, look, wait a minute. Maybe we ought to sit down and try and understand a little bit, right? Because there's some divergent points of view that have been presented here. I don't think there is an answer if we need to get into the business of talking to one another between the underground and the legitimate communities especially, so we get, you know, some of these terminologies refined a little bit. Fracking?
Do you use a frigging for fracking?
Sure. Right? I don't know. Questions.
Sure.
Are any of these activities illegal? Here's another interesting comment up here. What would
it be?
Depends on your point of view. Well, I claim that if you do certain things and get caught, you will go to jail. Usually people say, well, the law is wrong. My response to that is say, fine. We make those laws. If you have abdicated your responsibility as a citizen and your laws don't match what you want them to be, it's your fault. I vote.
So
I lobby.
That is so unfair.
Just wait. We're going to have a panel. Bill Thackeray will sit up here and answer that for you, all right? Okay. So we're going to have some interesting discussions today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't say I was going to make you happy, did I? Put them up. Are any of these immoral?
Yeah. That's what you're doing.
Well, all right. I know some hospital systems which are wide open. Let's suppose some slime ball that doesn't care about anything gets in and fiddles around and changes somebody's medication regimen. I forgot what you call the damn stuff, right? That's the plan. Go ahead.
Not supposed to happen.
Okay. Was that an immoral act?
Definitely.
By most standards, killing people is not immoral. What about ethics? Are any of these things that we've talked about so far unethical?
Whose ethics?
Right.
Depends on your motives.
Right. Oh, I love it. Everybody listen to this. Depends on your motives, you know, by according to whose ethics. That's to say, I claim that moral and ethical issues are standards of conduct which are derived from the status quo that we all create by interacting. And if you feel disenfranchised, I'm real sorry. I'm real sorry, but I feel disenfranchised too. I'm not giving up. I'm going out there counting on people saying, fuck you, you better listen to some of these kids that are coming through, you know, getting the wrong idea about how the world works. In the same way that I try and talk to some of you guys about, you know, changes that you may want to make in your behaviors. But that aside, these things change over time. I claim it's up to us to make the world the way we want it to be. Quickly, to hack or not to hack is not the question. Then, what is the question? Well, first of all, I say first order. Hacking must be a given then? I say, of course. Right? When God invented systems, she mandated hacking, that there would be hacking. This is the time-honored way that we do things here in this land, isn't it? Everybody say, yeah. You have to go look at where we came from, what we are, and where we're going. It's all about this mentality of changing the world, isn't it? I think so. At least that's my perspective again. Well, then, all right, what's the question? If it's not whether to hack or whether not to hack, I claim that,
what to hack?
I'll say maybe I'm going to make a cut at this. Here's what I say. I say my attempt at an answer is more questions. One of the things I do as a security consultant is ask embarrassing questions. I'm good at this. I claim that maybe we need to talk about why to hack, how to hack, when to hack, and by what means to hack. And oh, by the way, I'm just standing up here filling space. I don't know. I'm more confused every day. But I think it seems to be sort of moving in the right direction in terms of getting some answers. But to quickly take them one at a time so I don't eat up the whole conference here. A whole bunch of suggestions I have in your handout material about why it is that one hacks. Let's pick on one that's really interesting. I mean, Jeff, I think, did a pretty good job. Everybody read the loser list? Let's pick on that one. The only thing that you've got in your life. Sad to say, many of us don't discover other interesting things in the world. I personally happen to like women, fine wine, although you can see I'm powered by Coors. Good food, fast cars, and all kinds of weird shit, like single engine land airplanes and helicopters. Right? Other shit out in the world. So if you don't have anything else besides your machine and your hacking buddies in your life, I'd say you're probably cheating yourself. Oh, by the way, the bottom line on page 8, right? I claim the largest part of this is that it's built into the culture. right, of the machine and the network, it's just endless. Okay? How to hack? There's the question for you. Safely is number one on the list.
Be careful.
There be dragons there. Yeah? Be careful. By the rules, I say. Well, wait a minute now. There's more than meets the eye here, right? You mean, what do you mean, rules? Has anybody seen a rule book for hacking?
Maybe rules that wouldn't be hacking.
Sort of. Well, a few of us have suggested that we've seen rules. Another very legitimate comment up here is, hey, if there were rules, it wouldn't be hacking. Go ahead.
Several years ago in the protocol, when Hugo Cromwell put out the Hacker's Handbook, he covered that. He viewed hacking as a cool exploration. As long as you didn't interfere with anything, you didn't do anything destructive, you didn't tie up anyone's time or money or anything else. But then all you did is learn the minimal.
Okay, so we could say that maybe the time-honored tradition is being ignored by some?
You can credit it to, like, travelers who on a trail happens to be part of someone else's property because they don't touch anything.
Yeah, but that's not what he said up here. Sounded like anarchy to me. If it's a rule, I don't like it.
There's always going to be exceptions to rules.
Okay.
There's always going to be rules to exceptions.
Okay. I claim we've got a lot to talk about here, folks. Go ahead.
Yeah, really, when you say rules, we're not saying rules. We're talking about ethics.
Maybe.
Code, one code says you don't touch anything. Other people have different codes. It's just like you can do anything you want.
Maybe.
But this whole
personal story?
The whole ethical thing is like an absolute social... It depends where you stand on the fence. Who's making the rules?
This is very personal, isn't it?
Who's writing the history? Who's like making the laws?
This is very personal.
So it's like, if you're talking about this moral thing, it just depends where you come morally. You can
sure
see
does.
Set the laws and the social...
Do I get to decide that for you?
No.
Probably not. Probably not. This is a highly personal thing. Go ahead.
Each effort to find their own set of rules, the limits and boundaries not cross morality they have.
Okay, now, but what I claim is, to answer to Rick and well, actually to all three of you, with emphasis on this anarchist comment up here.
Yeah. Well, that's anarchy.
Why is it anarchy? I mean, I just don't understand why anything that's sort of like, okay, well, you know, if I think these laws are wrong or these laws aren't correct or whatever, then you're an anarchist.
By definition, that's what anarchy means.
No, because I'd rather revise the
definition of anarchy.
What he was suggesting is, if there are rules, then it's not hacking.
Rules to hacking. There can be rules in general, because hacking seems to be getting around the rules.
Ah.
The rules ought to be there, otherwise there'd be no fun.
So this could be a graduate philosophy class, couldn't it? Let's not get lost here.
One thing to keep in mind about anarchy. Anarchy is actually a kind of a system of government where everybody is responsible for themselves.
Right.
And so if someone comes down on you, then you can get your friends together and come down on them. Right? So anarchy doesn't get something
I know, but it has all these negative connotations attached.
It doesn't have to be negative at all. Anarchy can be a term.
My view here is that this needs to degenerate into all the conversations and questions at the panel. All I'm doing is just trying to poke you between the eyes. I'm going to poke you between the ribs hard here. Let me try. With forethought. That's how to hack. With forethought. What you're doing, why you're doing it, to what end. Use some intelligence. You play. You talk and ask. And then what do? You go back and think and play and talk and ask some more. It's a never-ending cycle, I would hope for you. With great passion. Notice I say what's right, what is needed, and what's not needed. And if you look down below, I say with great dedication, the same things are down there. What is right, what is needed, what is not needed. Who decides that? It's a personal decision at the moment, I think, and an interesting environment to live in, right?
There will always be a personal
decision. Yeah. We have to live in some societal structure, so that certainly figures in here someplace. And let's talk maybe on one item there. With great dedication to a job well done. Judged by whom?
You.
Yourself? Well, maybe. Maybe. How about your peers? Well, maybe. How about a jury of your peers? Not in the legal sense. I write for a lot of referee journals. When I submit an article, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference how much energy and time I've spent on it. There's a panel of august statesmen that look at it and tear it to shreds. Same thing as when a code review happens. Anybody been through a code review? Jesus. I thought this was the niftiest thing from sliced bread. Some of these guys get through with me, you hobble away. Right? So the question is, a review by your peers? Well, all right. I claim that some of us maybe don't have the right kinds of peers to review some of the things that we claim are excellent hacks. Don't throw anything at me. But that is not going to make you happy. When to hack? Let's move on quickly here. When to hack? Always?
When you have time.
No, don't always hack. I say, it makes you crazy. Doesn't it? Anybody? A couple of you guys. Two of you guys said that you classify yourselves as full-time professional hacks. It runs the risk of making you loony, doesn't it? Uh-oh. He says no. What do you say? I say yes. Drives me fucking insane. I hate the world the way it is, and I'm always trying to change it. I'm stepping behind airline terminal, airline ticket sales things, and saying, God, what a brain-damaged application, you know? Kind of talking about how to do things better, et cetera, et cetera. It'll drive you crazy.
Drives them crazy, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How about we say, when it's appropriate? I say, absolutely, this is a rule that will work. The problem is, who decides when it's appropriate?
You do.
It ain't me. I don't know shit from Shinola about your life. However, there is a status quo, I suggest. What I'm throwing out to you here is consider the decision point. Driving versus drunken driving. Well, I split that line pretty carefully last night because to get up here from Tucson, I sure as hell did not abide by the speed limit in 7 hours. What about sex? Consensual sex versus rape. Right? That's another personal decision, isn't it? Tell the goddamn law as you want to. Right? It comes down to a personal decision about how you're going to treat your mate. Hint, and this is a major point that I'd like to leave you with, nothing else. This means not being a bully, folks. A lot of you are far superior to any that you'll run into outside of this room. Not to say that I think that you're all geniuses, but facing facts, a good percentage of you know a lot more about this technology and the way the world works. Then let's just pick a number. 95% of us on the floor down there in the casino?
We clear money?
Very low.
Nice hot, man.
Your success at breaking a system or a network may exclusively derive to my little list here. The victim has brain damage. Could we?
Severe.
Yeah, we're going to buy some PCs to run the business. You've heard of that, right? Fucking rules. No one told the victim they were vulnerable. And on down the list, I say, right, no one is holding the victim responsible. There's some problems in society. The guardians of some information, which is very near and dear to me, is not being protected properly, in my view. Right, there's something for you. How about the fact that the victim may not have a clue? That's different than the victim having brain damage, isn't it? A lot of smart people in the world. I try never to underestimate the intelligence of my fellow man. What I'm suggesting to you is that maybe it just never occurred to someone that they should be doing this. Not that they're brain damaged, right? Last but not least, maybe the victim is under siege. In most cases, I find that people that run, manage, fund, and use computer systems or networks these days just ain't even got a spare cycle. How many of you have managed a large production computing system of some kind? I used to be postmaster at cciT.arizona.edu. Some of you recognize that cluster, 15,000 users. I got to tell you what, there was four of us beating on that son of a bitch to keep it just steady and even. Mud was my enemy. Why was Mud my enemy? Does that mean I hate games? I hate role playing. I hate cyberspace. Why was Mud my enemy?
The load.
Jesus fucking Christ. Study computer system performance. Single character I/O tends to be a huge problem. If anybody's operating, Mud is brain damage. By and large, nobody has written a fast, efficient Mud client. Okay. So if you're right, I've got a kid that's pretty back here, at least knows the machine name. I see that 8800 sitting there doing, trying to do 1500, 2000, 2500 IOs a second. I start to get phone calls. from professors saying, listen, my class can't get any cycles here. Okay? That's an example of the fact that maybe people that you attack are just under siege. They don't have any time to pay any attention to ships. Always remember, the infrastructure is weak and vulnerable. Let me poke at you here a little bit. It's really easy to break shit, isn't it? Everybody say, yes! How hard was it for those guys to blow up the World Trade Center?
And their car.
Gates! Couple of $100, right? Of agricultural chemicals, I think it turned out to be, right? You all know more about where to find the technologies for that than I do, because I don't spend time on the net looking. But, you know, my shelf is full of books and shit. I'm sure I can find it if I want. How easy would it be for you to break this hotel? Let's bring this home.
Excluding my friends.
Fucking easy. I study infrastructure as part of my job as a security consultant. One or two very carefully chosen actions could close this hotel. Anybody suggest what to pick on?
Power.
Power. I kill the power. I chop the phone lines. You're fucking dead. Okay. So let's not kid ourselves about what it's about here. It's fucking easy to make a mess. By what rules? Okay. Now, try and sharpen our focus here a little bit. There is a time-honored tradition here which seems to be fading. I just know that I'm not supposed to do certain things. I can't point to anybody that ever told me that. Okay? I've got some suggestions here for you. My idea is that, yeah, I know, people piss me off. And when I'm on their machines, and I'm pissed off at them, and I find an easy way to fuck with them, my handshake sometimes.
God, I really like them a little bit better way.
But I don't most of the time. Right? These are not easy questions. Is it do unto others before they do unto you? No. Within the law, I don't know. I think Gail's going to be pretty outspoken about the fact that she doesn't have any tools. The law is pretty broken in some respects. Within your own moral and ethical structure. Ooh, everybody say, ooh. Let's ask the hard question. How many of you have had any training, education, or parenting aimed at morals and ethics? A few of us. A few of us. I'm not sure as many of us as we would like.
Yeah, anyone who watches television has to have morals and ethics, whether they be right or wrong.
Absolutely, and that's notice here I say, within society, moral and ethical guidelines? Oh my God, what about these crooked politicians? Or as I affectionately refer to the broken people in society, liars, cheaters, fuckers, and thieves. Okay? Some of us, in fact, bear the scars of trying to understand how to balance this. It really doesn't work. There isn't much of a practical framework. The only thing that I can say is it comes down to being hard-headed enough to pick out something that you're happy with and go to work on it in a way that you can carry it off to sleep. You have to sleep at night. I think you have to stay out of jail. I've been there. I've been in the drunk tank. I don't want to go back. I really don't. Okay. And also so you can play with the rest of society. Okay? And the whole idea would be that maybe we ought to talk a little bit about last night's problem in the room. I'm not going to pick on you, okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
But I do want to bring this up. Do you want to tell briefly what happened?
Briefly what happened is myself and two other people had just crashed here because we couldn't find any hotels that were open or available. And I think there was one, but he decided to give us some inflated fees and all this, so we just decided we'll come back here and crash for the night. So, all three of us crashed. It was maybe at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 3. And at 6 in the morning, just for the record, it was intended that there would be a security person coming in every 20 minutes just to make sure everything's okay here and, you know, no real problems. And everything was fine until about 6 o'clock in the morning. And about 6, one security guard, who I guess just got on his shift or something, came up here and I guess didn't know that we had this room for 24 hours. And he saw the three of us sleeping around here and he just had a fit as if, you know, we were vagrants or something and we just happened to find this room and start sleeping in it. And basically, he immediately said, you know, you guys don't belong here, you'll have to leave, and he just went through the whole big deal. And to make sort of a long story short, he went up to me and, you know, I basically said, you know, I have no problem. I was really, really tired. I mean, worked on, you know, a couple of hours of sleep, and I said, you know, I don't want to make a big deal. I'll just leave and everything. And so I started leaving, and I see two security guards following me. And I said to the two security guards, you know, I can leave by myself, thank you. And they said, well, we were instructed to make sure you leave the premises, which they meant the whole Sands Hotel. I mean, I couldn't even stay in the hotel at all. And they, you know, started following me, and I said, you know, I can leave, really. I really don't like people following me. And they said, well, we were instructed to watch you leave, and you can leave. And sure enough, they did the typical security guard thing. You know, if I started slowing down, they said, come on, let's go. Or I said, looking like I was going to make a right turn, they said, no, the door's to the left, you know, the typical thing there. And then there was one other person in here who I'm sure can give a better story. He actually almost challenged the guard who came in here. He said, we have this room for 24 hours. We're basically here watching the equipment that was left in here. And that's all we're doing, and we have the right to be here. And then immediately, this guy took that as an immediate threat, called up a supervisor and about four security guards. And I think he's over there. If you would mind continuing, he can tell you what came from there.
Well,
okay.
Basically,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, you're busy.
No, go ahead.
Well, these guys came up, and as it was mentioned, there was a new shift. There had been several security guards throughout the night, and so they knew that we were here, and no one had said anything. It was about 7 o'clock, this guy started yelling, and I explained that we were here watching the equipment, that we'd had authorization to do so. I sat on that bloody phone back there for an hour last night making arrangements for it, and the guy said, went into his, you have to leave, etc. I asked to speak with the assistant manager, and he said no, so I asked very insistently and in a rather obnoxious tone of voice, to speak to the assistant manager now, which is generally, just for your reference,
right,
what you do if you run into a situation with an unacceptable problem in a hotel, the assistant manager's in charge. And he said no. These guys, these goons, just kind of basically hauled me down with some SOB in security,
yep,
who started reading me the Riot Act and all these Nevada laws and what have you.
Okay, there's a reason why I brought this up. I have a question for you, and you got to promise me that you won't be offended, either one of you. A hard question here. I like the way you were proceeding. My question is, why didn't somebody call Jeff and reference the amount of money in the contract that was obviously signed for these facilities? That is to say, why wasn't anybody willing to hack the fucking hotel?
There wasn't time.
Okay. All right.
From the time I was
all my conversation, right? I'm not trying to be an asshole up here. Most of you got the point, right? The whole idea is just screwing around with, finding vulnerabilities in computer systems ain't where it's at, from my perspective. The whole world needs to be hacked out, and this is the perfect situation. I think you ought to ask for some of your money back, is what I think.
Yeah, reduced room rate,
yeah,
I think, is in order.
Okay. That's my definition of a quality hack, is to see whether or not you can get the room free. Okay, more profoundly, who is the hacker? A hero to mankind? Sure, but not you, I say. Wait a minute. Just because you break into a system doesn't necessarily a hero make, I think. Consider that. I mean, who are your heroes? Consider that carefully. What are your goals? What are your goals and what it is that you're doing? Okay? Let's talk about Mitnick. I have direct experience with Kevin Mitnick. The guy taught me a lot.
5 minutes.
Yes, this is dragging on, isn't it? Thanks. You can be aggressive. Notice what I say here. I say neither Mitnick nor I think that what he did was anything besides just fuck. Period. That doesn't mean that I didn't learn anything from him. That just means that it was the wrong thing to do at the wrong time. Okay? Everybody in this space, I think, is going to be an important part of the landscape, as I say here, and my suggestion is maybe we ought to take it as a personal agenda item to make sure that we're the ones that understand how things really work. Because, again, if you go down on the casino floor, most people will say, oh, computers.
Sure.
something like you, right? Are you a necessary evil? Or am I a necessary evil in society? Probably. It's very painful, right? I also recognize that I shouldn't be a pain in the ass. But I hope none of us are scumbag reprobates. You gotta help. I put you a little graph here out of an ethics book. Find yourself in your activities on this graph and figure out who you are and be that person, right? Who is who we were talking about? Did you say that? Did you say that earlier? Who said that? One of you guys said that, right? Find out who you are and be that. Who was that?
It was a line that Robin Williams gave in the movie Dead Again.
Okay. First order. I'll be down here in quick order here. First order. I'm not standing up here and preaching. Come on. I'm just an aging old hack. I really am.
No, you are preaching.
I'm not either. I got more fucking problems than, you know, I'll keep you entertained for a long time talking about my problems. No, I'm not either. This is just commentary. I'm not a preacher. Do illegal things and the cops will be on your ass, period. Your future prospects for employment will be diminished. Do immoral things. The main thing I worry about doing an immoral thing is my peers. I wish to be accepted in my peer group. If I go kill somebody, my peer group, by and large, will say, you're fucked and
illegal. Yeah, but illegal and moral not necessarily the same.
Notice I didn't put illegal on here. Except to say that if you do illegal things, the cops will try and be on you at least. That's their job, after all. That's what I hire them for. I pay taxes. Do unethical things and the same thing. If somebody does something unethical in my peer group, generally they are ostracized. I don't want that to happen to me. Therefore, I try and do things that are commonly acceptable. Last, here's some important stuff, I think. There are a lot of people out here that know a lot about security. Okay? The hard part is getting connected to it. I'm trying to do lots of different things to get people connected together. The easy part is making them mad. Okay? I talked about the infrastructure being fragile. You can break it if you want. Right? It's real easy to find your way into things. You think you may be doing an excellent high-tech job? This is really harsh criticism. All right? If I'm preaching, this is it. Some of you really think that you're hot shit. Consider that some of you may be just masturbating. Seriously. Okay. Last but not least, I'm clear that many of you are just fighting the wrong people. I'd rather have you as general allies in trying to understand where the fuck the cyberspace is going and how it is that we're going to get there and how it is that we're going to become productive collaborating partners in this. And I've got some ideas there for you about how you can pursue this. Last but not least, some of you picked this out immediately. In conclusion, it says, you are being perceived as evil. It's true. I just went to a computer security conference on the East Coast where I got Rob Gondrip from HackTech on the telephone to talk to 100 people in an audience. I called the session Meet the Enemy. It's my idea that two sides should communicate. They perceive the general hacker community as evil. Are you? I put it here in writing. I don't think so, by and large. You're not. Okay? If you want to hack, open up a dialogue so you can bring up your points. Pretty sure that Gail is going to talk to you in that tone. Let's get it on the table. What do we need? What's right? What's wrong? Where are we going? Why are we going there? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Last but not least here, I feel a strong connection with you. I'm just honest. What's your name?
Your hand was.
I would like to engage in intimate mental intercourse with you. Okay. I think there are some valuable ideas that need to be talked about in exchange.
I really have this burning question. Yeah, I really want to ask it.
Please.
And not to be terribly offensive or anything, but I'm just wondering, I mean, you're a security expert. I really wanted to hear what you had to say about security and you know, what you do and all that. So I'm wondering why, instead of like talking about that and sort of, I'm not saying get into like being a technical weenie or anything, but just like, you know, talk about what you do. Why instead did you feel that it was really important? Because after half an hour now, I feel like really patronized because
yep.
I know who I am, I know what I do.
Can you sit still and listen for the answer and consider it carefully?
Oh no, I'll consider it, but do you see what I mean? I'm just wondering why you chose this topic.
You won't like it.
Because I just feel like you don't think that we're all like intelligent human beings that can take that can take our own sort of moral positions on things. That's being a bit harsh. I don't really mean that.
These handouts cost, there's $250 worth of photocopies up here that I can't afford. Okay, because of my position trying to balance the underground and the legitimate security community, my career has been in the dumper since 1988 when I started trying to pick apart the Mitten case. Probably going to be one of the most widespread, most successful, most entertaining, most instructive break-ins of the century. I paid with my career. I filed bankruptcy in May, okay, for trying to do that. So I understand your perception. Let me give you the answer to your question.
I'm not trying to be very mean.
No, 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 I understand. We need to get this on the table, don't we? I mean, you know, we're not really going to throw punches, but I hope that we have some. Here's the answer to your question, and everybody consider this very carefully. I've been doing this business for over 10 years, security consulting. Security is a people problem. If you want me to solve the security problems for JRandom system, the technology exists. The only thing that I need is somebody to sign a check, first of all. Second of all, to give me franchise, and I will make the system bulletproof, except for what? The people involved, the operators. Consider the Walker and Pollard espionage cases. Okay? I said I wasn't going to make you happy. I promised to be controversial. The answer, the precise answer to your question is, the precise answer to your question is, this is the pay dirt. This is the bottom line. This is where it's all at. This is like personal morals and ethics, and that's all there is to it. If you want me to secure your system, the technology exists. It's affordable. It's easily deployed. We can babble about problems or talk technical shit all you want to. But the bottom line is this is a people problem. It's a problem for us in society. And I talked way too long. My apologies, Jeff. Let's talk in the hall, okay? Thanks for your indulgence.